You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Football Friday. As the free agent frenzy fizzles, why the big losers might just be the biggest winners of them all. Meanwhile, oh, a change, of course, in Chicago. Why the uncharted waters might just be the best route the Bears can choose. And the definitive green list, including the one move made this week that just might decide the Super Bowl. All that and a whole lot more. It's time to get up on a Football Friday. Let's go. Here we go. What a week. What a week it has been. Everybody but the Cowboys have been busy as can be. Graziano's ready to go. We got stories.
Nick is here.
Bartholomew, we got blinded by the light.
Yeah. Hey, the ghost light, man. Come to the light, Caroline.
Bright early today. We're going to go live to Chicago, too, for the latest on a surprising turn in the Justin Fields story. But let's hand out some grades to wrap up the big week of free agency. Let's see how hard our graders are. Bart, the Steelers added Russell Wilson and Patrick Queen. What grade do you give them?
I'm going to give him a B minus. I think, you know, Russell Wilson, because he's cheap, it was a great addition. Patrick Queen, I think, is a good linebacker. But remember, they had to bring in Raekwon Smith to be able to kind of unlock him. I think the Ravens are excited. You hear Patrick talk about he's excited to see him in a hole to give him some pancakes. You know, with Derrick Henry there, they're going to need a lot of Patrick Queen in that debate.
Graziano, let's go to Philadelphia. They add Saquon Barkley. They get back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. What grade do we give them?
I give them a solid B. I mean, look, I think their roster is better than it was a week ago. I don't agree with spending at that level for a running back in a market that doesn't demand it, but the Eagles think Saquon Barkley's a special player that will change them significantly on offense, and if they're right, then this grade has a chance to improve.
And then Professor Foxworth, I come to you. Yeah. Cowboys added Eric Kendricks.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much all they did. What grade do you give them?
I thought it was cool to give them a C, but apparently people are saying that I'm being hard on them. I think that C is for cool. I don't know what kind of grades y'all got, but I never had to get my mom to sign no report card with a C on it.
D degrees,
baby. Yeah, we good. We coasting, baby.
I ain't getting C's.
So you're suggesting that you thought when you got a C in school, it was because the teachers were telling you were cool.
Yeah.
Damn right, Greeny.
You know, in life, you can talk yourself into almost anything. And as like the ownership of the Cowboys can talk you into saying that they're going to be all in. And so far, it has not appeared they've been all in. We've been trying to figure out what all in means. Well, yesterday, Stephen Jones finally, God bless him, explained it.
I know where the frustration is, the fact that we haven't had success in the playoffs to their satisfaction. Until we do that, you know, the criticism is certainly something that's going to be there. We don't define all in as what you spend in free agency. It's keeping, you know, the core, keeping some of the great players in this league, like Dak Prescott, like CeeDee Lamb, like Micah Parsons, like Diggs. You know, that's what we define as all in.
All right, so that's how he defines all in. Are you going?
I'm going with the Stephen Jones, baby.
Yo, what's up?
Pop that thing. I agree.
It was an interesting look, wasn't it? He did kind of have that collar popped up there, you know, with the dress shirt underneath it. Exactly right. Yeah, it was a great look in 1977. But that said,
while I don't agree with his fashion choices, I do agree with his assessment. This is exactly what I was saying yesterday, is they've done a good job of attracting and acquiring a lot of talent. The teams that are good and have drafted well, pay the guys you got. If you're out in this free agent frenzy paying big bucks for players, that suggests that you haven't done as good a job. And they can't spend a lot of money on these players because they do have a lot of good players that they need to pay, and they can't tie up their money in free agents.
Understood. Which brings me to a couple of questions. The first one, Dan, is for you. There is a perception out there, and I think I am one of the people who hold it, but I will defer to your expertise. Is the Dak Prescott contract looming over them hamstringing what the Cowboys are able to do?
Look, if you have a $59.5 million cap charge assigned to one player, it has to, right? Like, you're working around that no matter what. The Cowboys would tell you, well, he's the quarterback, right? Like, if you're going to lay it out. So they either have to extend him or get comfortable with the idea of working around that number. And so far, they haven't been able to extend him, and we'll see what happens there. But I think it would be foolish to say that that's not a factor. I mean, you know, they have a budget assigned for free agency that might conceivably be larger if their quarterback's cap hit weren't the highest in the league.
I think it's a factor, but we have to acknowledge that we all warned them about this years ago when they were franchising Dak and franchising Dak and messing around with this contract. I think this is mismanagement, honestly, how they ended up in a situation when you had a quarterback that you knew was going to be here for a long time. Yeah. You sign him to a deal as early as you possibly can. You don't get in a situation where he has all the leverage.
I think that when you look at Patrick Mahomes, he set the model, right? Yeah. Give him a 10-year contract that's really a dummy contract that you can always prorate, steal money, give him signing bonuses, things of that sort, if he was going to be your guy. But I do agree with Dominique that I think, you know, I think they've done a good job. I think they're staying patient. I think this is all in. Whenever you got to pay your quarterback maybe $55 to $60 million, you look at Brian Burns' deal, well, Michael Parsons is going to say, I'm better than that guy.
Right.
That's going to be plus $30 million a year, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is waiting for Justin Jefferson to get paid because he wants to go afterwards so he can top the number. That's going to be $28 million a year.
Right.
How much money do you really have?
No, I understand that. But another way of saying what you just said, Bart, is they're just basically going to have the same players. They're just going to be paying them a lot more than they have been previously.
Exactly.
And as a consequence, they're going to lose a bunch of other ones. So someone explain to me how they get better.
You have to graduate. You have to develop players within your system. I think, you know, being able to go get Kendricks. I've always been a fan of his. For people who really don't know who he is and what he did in Minnesota, he was a Pro Bowler. He's a guy that understands. He's just as good or better than Vanderish. He's going to shore that linebacker position up. He's going to make sure that he mans the middle. Now they just have to figure out the running back situation, which everybody here has told us is easy to fill through college or through free agency.
The way you get better is the way that they've stayed good this entire time is you draft well.
Right.
We keep talking about getting cheap talent. Quarterbacks on rookie deals are not the only ones that matter on rookie deals. They've had Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb on rookie deals up until this point. Mm-hmm. They try to spend money to build around them. They can go out and get Gilmore. They can go out and get Cooks. They can go out and get – so that's how it's going to work. They're going to have to pay the guys that they have, but they're going to have to hit in the draft, and they've been doing it. So, like, we have to trust the process that they've been using up until now.
The draft in a salary cap league is about getting value in the first 4 or 5 years of a player's career, getting high-end production for low-end prices. And they've excelled at that. They've won 12 games 3 years in a row. They're doing something right.
When you win 12 games, you don't have a lot of improvement to do. You just need to get somebody to get you over the top. When you talk about all in, who knows? Somebody's going to fall through the cracks, right? You look at still good free agents there. Somebody's going to sign a one-year deal, prove it deal, try and get back right, and they'll be at a pump.
And there's a draft.
There are three different ways you acquire players, right? Free agency, trades, and the draft.
Right.
The draft is to your point,
and last year,
the most efficient one.
Yeah, last year they waited out free agency. They trade for Brandon Cooks. They trade for Stephon Gilmore. Low prices. I mean, those were good deals.
And maybe they'll work out. Yes, look, no one can argue that they haven't been successful. The problem is that during this period of time where they've had all these players on these young deals, they've won a combined total of one playoff game, and that sort of has become the measurement, right? When you keep winning 12 games.
I don't think you fixed that in March.
That's fine. But that's what I'm saying. The reason why they haven't gone deep into the playoffs is not because they haven't gotten a major free agent. You're not going to solve that now. We can point to a lot of different things, but it's not because they haven't gone to made a big splash in free agent.
Maybe, maybe not. Like, a lot of us thought that Derrick Henry would have fit very nicely. It would have looked really good
with that
star on his helmet. Well, I'll tell you what. Derrick Henry wanted to be a Cowboy, and as you heard him say on the radio yesterday, that interest was not returned.
Did Dallas pick up the phone? Were they involved in the Derrick Henry sweepstakes?
Not at all. I don't really know what's going on over there, but the Cowboys never called at all.
Now, were they on your radar? Did that surprise you?
I mean, of course, because that's why I stay in the off season. That's a great organization and been a great opportunity. But I'm thankful that I ended up here in Baltimore.
All right, that's with my guy,
Adam
Schefter.
He looks better in purple anyway.
First of all, make sure we give the credit. That's our buddy Adam Schein there from Mad Dog Sports Radio with a good interview. That's Derrick Henry saying, Dallas is where I live. Dallas is where I wanted to be. And they didn't even call me.
But I don't know how much money I got, right? I still got to handle the Dak Prescott, so I can't be going to get a luxury piece. Yes, he's a guy that you would love to have, but at $8 million, that's maybe more than what they had slated for the running back position. And Derrick Henry is a guy, they've experienced a guy, you know, that's had a lot of wear and tear on their body and came in and listen.
Can he do that? Everyone they have, can they do that?
Or he can get hurt.
But Derrick Henry's never going to get hurt. He's bionic. He's not even a human being.
People say that about Eddie George and Brandon Jacobs, but how did that end?
This is Dominique's least favorite.
I know.
First of all, I would have filed charges if I was guys. if I was his kid, I wouldn't take the trash out of nothing. Man, I see a grown man do like that, Dad. You can't chastise me. Why go tell Derrick Henry to come throw your ass?
Let's go back to the book. Go ahead.
The Cowboys got outbid by the Bengals for Zach. Or was it the Bengals for Zach Moss?
Yes.
$4 million a year. All right, they weren't going to $4 million a year. Derrick Henry got $8 million from the Ravens. If the Cowboys had called Derrick Henry, it would have been a short conversation because they would have said, "Hey, we got $3.5 million a year. What do you think?" And he would have laughed and he would have taken the Ravens call and signed with them anyway. Right. So
they're going to draft a running back. There are a couple of good ones in this draft, particularly Trey Benson, who I know Lewis Riddick loves, and they probably get him on the second round.
It feels like we just are looking for reasons to criticize them because had they spent a bunch of money on a running back, we'd have been like, "Oh, you spent too much money on a position that you could easily get in the draft. Why don't you spend this money on a linebacker or a safety where you actually need help?" Like, it seems like what they are doing is operating in a way that seems wise to me. And maybe because of that, you have to endure some ridicule from some goofy-ass fans. But until then, you don't bend.
We sat here in early November, right after the trade deadline, and I was listening to Jeff Saturday talk about how could the Cowboys do nothing while the Eagles did all this stuff at the trade deadline.
How'd that Shaq
what
Leonard
happened?
Work out?
How'd the next couple of months go for those two teams?
How'd that what happened, Shaq, what happened how'd that Shaq was Leonard move look?
Neither one of them wound up winning.
Whoa, wait a minute. One of them caught the other for the division, and it was not the one that
That's
made
true.
A bunch of moves
That's
at the trade
fair.
Deadline.
J.K. Dobbins is out there, right? So you draft one and you take a risk on a guy
There's
that has
tons
to take
of
a
them
bet.
Out there.
He had to take a bet on himself.
That said, I did not want to let any more time go by before we all enjoyed this. You were there for it, of course.
Oh, God.
So we finish up our show every single morning, and then First Take takes over. Yeah. And Stephen A. is not there yesterday, so our buddy Chris Mad Dog Russo, whom we love, is doing the intros at the beginning of the show. Oh. Just listen to this.
That's not gonna go well. We got lots to do with a consortment of folks, including our little pal there, Dominic. We have our good little buddy there, Windenhurst. Did I pronounce it right? We'll have some fun with the Lakers.
Put me on camera.
And by the way, don't ignore the fact that he said a consortment of folks. Like, what is that? It's not a word.
I think consortium is the word he was looking
for. Or assortment.
Anything. He put those two words together. How are you, Dominic?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm a little tired. My back is hurting from carrying Mad Dog for two hours yesterday.
Ooh, wow.
But he is, words aren't his strong suit, even though words is how he makes his living.
He probably had just watched Kindergarten Cop. Remember that was the kid out there that was on the show.
Dominic and Windenhurst. That actually would make a good sitcom, wouldn't it? Tonight on ABC, Dominic and Windenhurst. Anyway,
he's a national treasure.
Never change, Chris. We love you. As we continue here, Josh Allen got some help yesterday, but unfortunately for him, so did his biggest rival.
Damn.
Sneaky big moves. Who wound up making the biggest improvement? Plus, is the Bears' reality of keeping Justin Fields growing more real every day? We'll go live to Chicago. Don't miss the latest because this is taking a turn. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're brought to you by the new $1.99 crispy tender wraps for a limited time only at Sonic, and by MLB The Show 24, available on all major consoles, rated E for everyone. All right, Graziano, we're going to run the hurry up, but we're going to do it slowly, so let's actually walk the hurry up. Let's take a little time and analyze some of these stories. Let's start with the big trade yesterday.
Yeah, the Bears acquiring Keenan Allen, wide receiver from the Chargers, for a fourth-round pick. This happened last night. The Chargers had significant salary cap constraints this offseason. They had been talking to Keenan Allen about a contract extension. Obviously, they could not find agreement on that, so he moves on. Didn't fit under the Chargers cap. Going to turn 32 next month. Incredible career for the Chargers, but next chapter for Keenan Allen.
All right, so let's stop and talk about this one for a minute here, because this is a very significant. So the crew that puts together my radio rundown said, is Caleb Williams, assuming that they draft Caleb Williams and assuming Justin Fields isn't there, and we're going to go to Chicago for the very latest on that soon, Caleb Williams could be walking into the best situation a number one pick has seen in a long time. Right. We got DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett.
Yes.
I mean, you could be walking into a very nice spot.
I mean, this sounds like an organization that's preparing for a quarterback on a rookie deal with a cheap contract and being able to spend and make sure the environment is conducive to him having tremendous success and not having to do much but learn throughout the year and give him baby steps. I mean, CJ, I wouldn't be surprised if he has the type of year that CJ Stroud had with what he has around him, because he's not going to have to be asked to do much, make one or two plays. This is a tremendous situation.
Yeah, I'm really impressed, and they've retained some of their talent on the defense side of the ball. They can continue to get better. Eberflus is a good defensive mind. They can figure out this offensive stuff and protect him. This team, and if Caleb Williams turns out to be as good as we hope and he's able to play within structure in a way that he was not consistently in college, this team will be really competitive in that division.
It's important for people to remember, usually the team with the first pick is the team that had the worst record.
Right.
That is not the case this year.
That's right.
The Bears have the Panthers pick. They did not have the worst record. Finished the season very strong. Saved their coach's job with a great late season surge. So they're in a good spot. They are a lot better prepared to install a rookie quarterback than they were, for example, when they drafted
Justin. Justin's like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I had the same thought. Like,
you're what about me?
I know. Seriously.
Now y'all want to do all this stuff? Thank you.
You're going to give this guy all of that? Are you kidding? It is. But, I mean, it's right now it does feel like the Bears are setting themselves up in a nice spot. Let's go to the next move here. Kansas City, we wondered, would they add another weapon? They did.
They did. They signed wide receiver Marquise Hollywood Brown, now a former Arizona Cardinal. And, you know, this is what the Chiefs do these days at receiver, right? They wait out the first wave of free agency. They find a guy at the right price that fits what they want to do. They let go of Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Here comes Hollywood Brown to replace him as that downfield threat in their offense. Obviously very fast. Obviously he's been very productive earlier in his career. Had some injury issues in Arizona the last couple years, but he's the newest target for Mahomes.
So talk me through this. How do we like that combination, Mahomes to Hollywood Brown?
I mean, we like everybody with Mahomes, right. But how many of these have actually worked, though? Like, they did it with, like, Sammy Watkins. They did it with Marquez. They did it with Juju. They did it with Tony. None of these guys have actually turned into the player. Now, they won two
Super
Bowls.
Were any of them as good as Marquise Brown?
No. Marquise Brown was traded for a first-round pick not too long ago.
But a first-round pick. He was coming off a 1,000-yard season with Lamar Jackson on his MVP season. So you're talking about going from the outhouse to the big house. I'm talking about he living good like George and Weezy right now. He moving on up.
You're doing all the old 70 show references to that.
Yeah, I've been stuck in the house for a week.
I do like it, but I'm just saying I don't want to get ahead of myself. Nah. I know that the Chiefs are going to be good, and I know that they're a talented athletic receiver. I also recognize that in the playoffs last year, their best plays were Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce doing what they do, making stuff up. So there is something to be said for having some time with Patrick to understand what he wants in those situations, because that's what's going to get big wins in the playoffs.
It's the looks that Marquise is going to get, right? He's going to get the same one-on-one looks that he got with Lamar Jackson because they had the most complicated run game.
Yeah.
You had to put everybody in the box. He's going to get one-on-ones where he just has to make the layup, right? Like last year, that was the problem. Valdez-Scantling at times couldn't make the layup. He couldn't make the easy catch into the Super Bowl.
They would tell you he had value, though, because he'd get down the field and create space. Right? So
that's
a key aspect of their offense, right? I mean, they always want to have that player.
Though, man.
Go back to Philly, add Deshaun Jackson, right? Like, there's always been that player in Andy Reid's offense, so this will be the guy.
Yeah, look, I mean, no one ever did it as well as Tyreek Hill, and maybe no one ever will again, but Hollywood Brown brings you that element of speed, if nothing else.
Talk about a team that did nothing but sign their own players and make one move.
They just won the Super Bowl back-to-back years.
Right. We're killing Dallas. They did the same thing.
A little more benefit of the doubt.
All right, give me one more move here from yesterday, what Buffalo did.
Bills acquiring, signing Curtis Samuel, wide receiver formerly of the Washington Commanders. I think he probably played for the Washington team under several different names.
That's true.
But look, he's a sort of do-it-all player in the offense. Management there knows him from their time in Carolina way back when. So the Bills have been operating with significant salary cap constraints this offseason as well, and they're looking for other solutions at wide receiver. This guy will pair with Stephon Diggs and a couple other guys and hopefully keep it rolling in Buffalo.
Well, those of us who play fantasy love Curtis Samuel. Okay? I mean, he puts up numbers, but that one might look at that. I'm asking now on behalf of a lot of fans who might say, does this mean they might move on from Stephon Diggs as has been rumored?
No, I don't think it's – I mean, could they do that? Yes, but A, I don't get the sense that they will, and B, this doesn't mean that. I mean, they're replenishing. They're losing guys in free agency, and they're having to replace them with sort of, middle market kind of, priced guys, and this fits that description.
Yeah, I like him a lot as a guy who's going to horizontally stretch the field. He's going to make it difficult for the defense to cover everybody in the low area, but I still think they need to make another move and get what we used to think of as like a Z, but like a field stretcher, someone who can go deep. Stephon Diggs is capable of that, but I think he's more of an X, your every down receiver. They still need someone like Hollywood. They need someone where the defenders are like, all right, I'm going to line up 8, 9, 10 yards off of this guy, and I'm going to get depth.
Robbie Chosen. But it's one thing he can do is run straight.
But the question is, the question is the former Robbie Anderson. Very quickly, the Bills have lost a lot.
Yes.
They had Kansas City, beat yesterday. Oh. What am I looking at?
The hole, the window.
The window is that much open?
It's just a little.
Just a little.
It's right there. They lost a lot of leadership in Hyde and Poyer, right? And you talk about trying to replace not just a player, but the value in the football acumen that they had back there. For years, we can say that Buffalo had the best safety tandem in all of football, and that's hard to replace, but they have to.
I have to give Sean McDermott some credit, because last year I thought when they started dropping defensive players getting hurt that their defense was done, their season was over. They built up a good defense that was contender, and as long as they have that quarterback, I think they could make a run.
All right, we'll see. They remain. They had a chance. As Bart says, they still have this much of a chance. As we continue, a change of course in Chicago? Maybe. We'll tell you why the uncharted waters might turn out to be the best route the Bears can choose right now. We'll take you live there for the very latest. This could be the biggest story of the offseason. It's next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back, bottom of the hour. Before we get back to the football, can we just show you some disrespect? Pardon me.
We call it EE.
Look
at him. And turn your back. That's
disrespectful. That man got a wife and kids, man.
Turn your back that like on him.
Is that worse than Josh Norman, Derrick Henry? Is that worse?
No, hell no.
I refuse to acknowledge that play ever happened.
Jalen Green. Yeah, it's not so much the ankle breaker, but it's like looking down at him and then turning around.
That's shades of James Harden. That's shades of James Harden.
Boy, that was some. Just watch him turn around after the ball leaves his hand.
Take a look at him.
Look at the foliage.
I'm gone.
I'm done.
It's exactly
right. Look at the foliage. Look at the hair on this kid, too, man. This is amazing. He needs to be next to Polamalu with the head and shoulders.
I do not think that it is an overreaction to say that was a disrespectful moment on the floor last night. Let's do other reactions with Graziano here. Overreaction Friday. Let's go through some things I think people are saying. Graziano. If people are saying Kirk Cousins makes the Falcons Super Bowl contenders, is that an overreaction?
Yes, like almost everything else people say the third week of March, right after free agency happens. Look, I mean, I think he'll make them better. They had terrible quarterback play last year, and I mean, at some point they may get there, but, you know, there's a lot of new there in Atlanta, a lot of stuff that has to be, you know, learned. He's got to learn his receiver. Yeah, I think they'll be good, but I think it's early to call them a Super Bowl contender.
Okay, but by early, you mean like 10 minutes from now on a green list when I'm going to say they're a Super Bowl contender. So we'll get to that in a minute. Meanwhile, next, if I were to say the Giants need to trade up for a quarterback in the first round, is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. I think it should be on their minds. The Giants, I think, are looking at likely moving on from Daniel Jones after this season, and he's coming off of an injury. If you're the Giants and you have the opportunity to get a guy you think is a long-term franchise quarterback, you're picking at 6 and you can move up from there to get him, I think you have to take advantage of that opportunity.
All right, and there are some extenuating circumstances there as well we'll talk about, but let's then go to the pressure point. If I said the Bears should keep Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams, is that an overreaction?
Yes. I think, you know, we expect the Bears to draft Caleb Williams at number one at this point. If they do that, I don't think they can keep them both on the roster through the offseason. I think that creates a very difficult and uncomfortable situation for both players, for your coaching staff. I think it's something. The Bears have been out there trying to trade Justin Fields in anticipation of taking a quarterback number one. I think that's ultimately where this lands. When it happens, I can't say. But if they're on the roster together through the offseason, I think that becomes a very difficult situation.
Well, right now it feels like the biggest question in the entire NFL is what are they going to do? And so we went in search of answers by calling up our dear friend Courtney Cronin, our Bears reporter extraordinaire, who is working on a story right now about exactly this, about exactly where the Bears find themselves, which you were telling us this morning in the meeting, Courtney, is not where they expect it to be by this point. So catch everyone up. How did we get to where we are, and what can the Bears do from here?
Well, simply put, Greeny, we got to this point because the quarterback market played out in a way that left Justin Fields as the odd man out for now. No team traded for him at the Bears' asking price. And it doesn't feel like Chicago's necessarily in a rush to get him off the roster at this point. But as we get closer to the draft, deadlines typically speed up the action. And that could very well be what happens for Justin Fields as the Bears try to find him a new home. I know that everybody goes back to the combine and focuses on what Ryan Poles said, that he wants to do right by Justin Fields. And ideally, if a trade were to have happened, it would have happened before free agency. But there's another part of it that I think kind of got lost in the mix, that Ryan Poles himself mentioned that you have to anticipate that sometimes there are unforeseen things that pop up that you have to navigate. The market for Justin Fields and how dry the trade market is right now is one of those things. And as I've done reporting on this story I'm working on for ESPN.com about how the Bears can realistically navigate this, if Justin Fields is still on the roster in a couple of weeks and if the team drafts Caleb Williams, how long can those two coexist? Is it likely that the two of them would get on the practice field at any point? And most sources I've spoken with gave me the indication that they believe that somebody in the draft will not get the quarterback that they want, and that could be the best time for Ryan Poles to strike and to get closer to the draft compensation that he originally had sought after for Justin Fields.
So, look, I mean, there are six quarterbacks that we expect to go certainly by the end of round two, and maybe sooner than that in the draft. That's a lot of teams that will be able to fill that hole through that mechanism, and so it could leave the Bears in the odd place out. Courtney, stay with us, if you will, because I need you to continue in here, but I want to ask my players for a minute here. So let's live in a world where they want to maximize the value of this asset. I mean, Justin Fields has value. To trade him for what the Patriots got for Mac Jones, I think would be... To me, I think that would be greatly undervaluing what he is. So let's live in a world where those two guys are on the roster. How bad is that?
I don't know how bad it is. And I think a lot of people are saying that it can be done. But I don't think it matters that it can be done. I think you have, as Ryan Poles has done a really good job up until this point, but you have one responsibility when you have the number one pick overall in a potential franchise quarterback. Every decision that he makes from now on should be about, is this going to help Caleb Williams become as good as he can become? If the answer is, I don't know, then you got to move on. If the answer is no, then you got to move on. I don't understand how keeping Justin Fields makes Caleb Williams better. Nope. And so in that case, I understand that as a GM, you want to get as much value as you deserve for all your assets. But sometimes you got to lose the trade because you have the bigger picture in mind. So I think Courtney's obviously right. Wait till the draft plays out, and maybe you'll find a real thirsty team and you can get that second round pick. But if you can't buy then, you got to move them for a sixth, a fifth, a seventh, whatever it takes, you got to get them out of there.
They jobbed the Panthers. They got a plethora of picks in the future. Like, who cares, man? Yeah. About the pick, do right by the kid. And at this point, you have to really bring him in and talk to him and talk to his representation and say, hey, it's two ways this can go. How would you feel in a scenario where we make you the starter and we bring Caleb on slowly, gives you an opportunity to show what you can do if you have weapons and you're in a great environment, could boost your value later, and we'll try and do right by you, or you know we'll let you go, and where can we go, and we'll come off of the second round pick. That depends on the kid.
But that first way is a problem. Because if you play him, you want him to play well so that you can move him on.
Right.
But let's say he plays well, and then you go to Caleb. Then Caleb, if Caleb doesn't blow everything out of the water, everyone's going to be like, hey, maybe you should stick with Justin Fields.
But we saw this. But we saw this with Kurt Warner and Eli Manning.
Right.
And we thought Kurt Warner was done, but Kurt went to Arizona and balled out. So and they had a winning record when they moved on for that. They understand what the assignment is.
The Giants, Kurt Warner didn't win games that year, right? Yeah. Like that when they made the switch from Warner to Eli, their record wasn't good. That's the trick, right? If the Bears are anticipating winning this year, which I think with their roster, they ended up winning, seven last year. They think they can improve on that.
Right.
So if you're winning with Justin Fields in this imaginary scenario that I 100% do not believe will happen, then it would be very difficult to make that move in the middle of the season.
I don't understand why the market is so small. I mean, if fourth round, fifth round draft pick,
I think if he was willing to take a fourth or fifth round draft pick, they would have made the deal by now. Let me get Courtney back in here because we have her expertise. She's so much closer to the situation than all the rest of us. There are probably fans out there across the country, and I'm sure many of them in Chicago, Courtney, who are saying, well, why don't they just keep Justin Fields, trade the pick? We just ran through all the weapons they have now. You've got DeAndre Swift, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, an improved offensive line. Justin Fields has never had anything like that to work with. So there are people who are really saying, well, why wouldn't they just keep him and trade the pick away? Is there any reason to believe that is on the list of realistic options for the Bears?
Not from what I'm hearing, but there is the possibility that if they can't get a trade that suits their appetite for a Justin Fields, moving him somewhere, whether it's to compete as a starter somewhere or more realistically, it looks like he'd be competing with as a backup option for now, potentially as a bridge quarterback. What's the Bears' appetite for having two quarterbacks under 25 years old, both eyeing to be the starter of this franchise? And what does that do to the locker room? Like, I can envision going out to OTAs after rookie minicamp, the first full squad organized team activity, and everyone is going to be dissecting every single snap, who's getting the reps, who's with working with the perceived ones at that point. And one coach I talked to about how this could possibly work is that if you are the quarterback's coach, if you are Kerry Joseph in that room, and that is how this thing is playing out, in the meantime, until they're able to move Justin Fields, you have to have clear, defined roles for both quarterbacks, for Justin Fields and for the potential rookie, most people expecting that to be Caleb Williams. So there isn't that confusion. So Justin Fields, if he is in that situation, isn't having to constantly look over his shoulder and that potentially affecting his performance and also affecting Caleb Williams or the rookie the Bears choose to bring along. As Neek said, you want to bring your franchise guy, the guy that you drafted as Ryan Poles, into the best possible situation. And creating more drama and more confusion around the team and having to have those players answer for it is not the way to go about it.
And to be clear, and you were making this point with us, and we had a long conversation, all of us, including Courtney, this morning. I mean, the Bears have actively tried to trade Justin Fields. So the answer is not, oh, they're considering not doing that. No. If someone had met their price, this deal would already be done.
If someone had met their price, this deal would already be done.
So they've made that decision.
It's very important for people to understand that. And I don't think that the inability to find a trade market for Justin Fields should make you change your plan. Like, you shouldn't trade the pick just because you couldn't get a good deal for Fields. Like, if you want Caleb Williams at number one, which, to the point, by the way, Courtney was making this point in our meeting this morning, like, they haven't met him yet. I mean, like, they haven't given him a physical yet. Like, if something were to happen to move them off of Caleb Williams, then potentially you're talking about other plans. But at this point, that hasn't happened, and I don't think the chances are very high that it will.
One other option that just popped in my head that we hadn't considered is they can keep him, but tell him we don't need you to come in. Like, make it very clear that we're waiting for something to happen and a team to need you. So that would be clear. It's like, look, man, we love you. We appreciate what you've done. I want to wait for the best opportunity for you, but I don't want to confuse things here. So please stay home.
Right. We love you, but we're going to screw you like there's nobody.
I don't think that is. I think, honestly, if you are trying to put him in the best situation, saying we're waiting for the best situation, it may not be completely
honest.
Never
come. I mean, that's a situation that may not come for months and months.
I mean, release me. It's a draft pick. Who cares, man? Do right by the kid.
I'm with you. I'm putting all the options
on the table. It's been malpractice how this kid has been get the hell beat out of him, how they protect him, the weapons, and what he had to go through. Let him go, man.
Which is why I hate the draft in the first place. I mean, the whole process. Yeah, Greeny, right before the break.
Free Django, Free Django.
The whole process in itself got his career derailed, and now he's about to get sent somewhere else that he has no control of.
You can watch me hosting the NFL draft coming up at the end of April here on ESPN, along with the millions and millions of other people who will be watching.
Oh, yeah, I'll be watching. I love it. It's going to be fun, guys.
Courtney's story will be up on ESPN.com shortly. Courtney, thank you, as always. If anything else, we will come right back to you. Outstanding work from there in Chicago. I have a bunch of thoughts on what the Bears should do here. By the way, we'll get to those, and we will get to today's definitive green list, including the one move that was made this week that just might decide the Super Bowl, regardless of what Graziano thinks. That's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and there is nothing we love more than a well-placed pun. And so, sorry about the voice, what does D. Fox say? We're going to hear your opinion, Dominique Foxworth, or Dominic, on a couple of different topics. Starting Baltimore. Is Derrick Henry the missing Super Bowl piece for the Ravens?
No. I mean, the Ravens don't have a missing piece. They were good enough to win the Super Bowl last year. Obviously, Derrick Henry makes them better. And I think the most important point that that's been made about adding Derrick Henry is it takes some of the running load off of Lamar Jackson, which will likely keep him healthier and also extend his career. So I think Derrick Henry is huge value to them, but they were good enough to win the Super Bowl last year. They're not like a team that needs a missing piece.
That's true, but I'd like to think they won't forget to run the ball in the AFC Championship game.
That's a lot of money to spend on a reminder.
Yeah, exactly.
I can set your phone to do that if you want me to.
He's also a human reminder. Next, if the Packers make the splashy running back move, does Josh Jacobs make them the best offense in the NFC?
I mean, they had running backs. I don't know that Josh Jacobs makes them the best offense, but they could be the best offense in the NFC, in large part because what we saw from Jordan Love. Josh Jacobs is a nice addition, but what they needed was not a new running back. They just need Jordan Love to keep getting better and to protect that great young quarterback that they have.
And then one more. Saquon Barkley introduced as an Eagle yesterday. What does he make Philadelphia?
Scary. I understand that running backs are not supposed to be of a lot of value, but there are certain players that I think are special. And when you're put in the right situation with possibly the best offensive line or the second best offensive line in football, Saquon, he has no idea what that's like. Mm-hmm. And then two receivers that can reasonably both command double teams on the outside and a quarterback that's been a consistent, good decision maker, I think that Saquon is going to be great and that offense is going to be scary.
I agree. They are going to be scary. But you know what else is scary? How ridiculously cool your shoes are. Can we all just take a moment to bask in the glory of Dominic's
Animal instincts?
Sticks?
Yeah,
we call them the Air Wakandas, too.
Come on. Those are spectacular, Dominic.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Greeny. I'll let you hold them if you need to.
We just had a moment.
What's that, a seven?
You can pull them off. You can take Stacy out on dinner night.
Are you kidding me? I could. I can't even come up with a word to describe.
I hope those Scotch.
I couldn't pull those off, but I think they are spectacular.
Hope those Scotch guarded, man.
Nah, I ain't worried about it. I'll get some new ones, but I got the matching underwear, too.
Okay.
Take your word for that.
Off either. All right. In the meantime, let's get back here and let's do today's green list. So the big week of free agency has now come and gone. And I know what you're wondering. You're thinking, Greeny, what were the five most important moves that got made this week? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me start at number five by pointing out the bridge quarterbacks. There were three teams that made quarterback moves that leave them very much in the market for quarterbacks. They include Minnesota. They include New England, which I think is a fascinating one. Watch those teams still to be looking to make trades, to make acquisitions, and the Raiders as well. Gardner Minshew, those all have bridges. They might not even give those quarterbacks numbers. Just put bridges on their jerseys because all three of those teams, I think, will be in the quarterback market when we get to the draft. At number four, I think the Packers signing Josh Jacobs. We just talked about it a minute ago. Josh Jacobs is better than Aaron Jones at this point. Aaron Jones, who was a great player, a great leader, and a great contributor for that team. They just got younger and better on an offense that was already young and good. I think the Packers do have a chance to have the best offense in the NFC this year, and I think they're a sneaky, excellent Super Bowl pick. At number three, I love the Ravens signing Derrick Henry. I'm going to expand on what Dominique Foxworth just said about the pressure that it takes off Lamar Jackson. Do you know who the Ravens' leading rusher was last year? It was Lamar Jackson. When your quarterback is your leading rusher, that is a recipe for disaster. They were this close to being a Super Bowl team last year. I get it. But everyone doesn't start where they left off. They start at the beginning. Derrick Henry is an outstanding acquisition. So is Saquon Barkley. I put him at number two. I've been saying it for weeks. Saquon Barkley is going to have a McCaffrey-esque impact on Philadelphia. Football has never been as easy for him as it's going to be now with all the other weapons around him. Dan Orlovsky said it that way on this show on Monday, and I think he was exactly right. Saquon will have a huge impact in Philly. That team will win the division. But at number one, I'm going to go the Atlanta Falcons signing Kirk Cousins. I know it's obvious because he's a starting quarterback, and that's always the most significant thing. But the reality is that team was Kirk Cousins away from being genuinely excellent. To be as decent as they were, with coaching as bad and quarterback play as bad as they had in it, what was already a very winnable division, I think that Kirk Cousins makes them an 11-win team this year and a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the NFC. The defense already isn't as bad as people think, and it's going to get a lot better. They have the 8th pick. Come on in here, guys, and have at me. They have the 8th pick in the draft this year, which with they can draft a pass rusher like Dallas Turner from Alabama, whoever they want. I think the Falcons are a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the NFC. Bartholomew, why are you shaking your head like that?
I mean, I see a big void on this list. And, you know, I rock with you, Green. We down like four flats.
Yes, but there's no defense on it.
Well, I think the move by Houston with Danielle Hunter being able to get somebody else that can hunt the football, opposite Will Anderson, a team that has a lot of salary cap space, that has a great defense, great offense. They were one defensive pass rusher away to play with that big lead. I think Danielle Hunter going to Houston should be number one on your list.
Fair enough. Graziano?
You got to know your audience. You got no defense on here. You got two defensive players on your show today.
Like, that's right.
You got to throw Brian Burns to the Giants on there or something, right? Just to give these guys a little bit. But
I also think, like, the problem is that my audience is not these two.
Right.
It's everyone else.
Good point.
And all of them are excited about Saquon and
Jerry. About Danielle Hunter.
To your point, I think I got some hipster picks that I like a little bit more, too, especially with the Eagles. I love the Barkley addition, but I think Chauncey Gardner Johnson and getting White at the linebacker.
Yes.
That was the issue last year. The issue wasn't the depth of their running game. The issue was their linebackers and safeties were having a real hard time tackling and covering people. So those
Shaq Leonard retired and didn't
tell nobody. Go back to my primary argument.
Yeah.
I believe the Atlanta Falcons, with Drake London, who was drafted ahead of Garrett Wilson and no one batted an eye, with Kyle Pitts, who was supposed to revolutionize the tight end position, with Bijan Robinson, who was the best running back prospect in a decade, with a good offensive line and an improving defense, Kirk Cousins, I think that team was Kirk Cousins away from being a Super Bowl contender, and now they have Kirk Cousins.
They'll get knocked out in the first round by the Lions. Did you see DJ Reader going there? That's a big move yesterday, and they made the trade for the corner.
Do you like the Lions' weapons better or the Falcons' weapons better?
I like the Lions' team mentality, that dog that they got, and
that's
they got a bunch of money. DJ Reader, they were a DJ Reader away, and all they have to do is try to get a pass rusher opposite of Hutchinson. I think the Lions really got better. This changes every second. Every second, somebody else is getting.
Like Kirk Cousins didn't have anybody around him in Minnesota.
Right.
And he had a monster. Weapons.
He was putting up monster numbers.
And their defense couldn't stop anybody. And I don't know if the Atlanta Falcons defense can stop anybody.
I don't know if the Lions defense can stop anybody.
They got DJ Reader yesterday. That's a big deal.
The Falcons defense got a lot better last year, and I think they'll continue to do so when they added Jesse Bates. I think the Lions is a good comparison because it's a similar situation where there are a really lot of talented weapons, a good offensive line. The Lions offensive line is great, but the Falcons offensive line is good. And a quarterback who we think is not great, but we can trust, I think Kirk Cousins makes them a lot better.
Are they better than the Lions? Are they better than Philadelphia? Are they better than Dallas? Are they better than San Francisco?
The answer to all those questions is, I'm not sure.
You got to get better in Tampa Bay first.
I also think
still chasing them.
But I think that the point to be made is that's who they're chasing.
Right.
They're not dealing with a young and upcoming Green Bay team. They're not Dallas and Philly fighting it out like crazy in that division. They're not San Francisco dealing with the Rams in that division. They're playing in what I believe will remain the easiest division to win in the NFC, and I think that makes a difference.
So they're getting the playoffs and losing the first round.
Well, we'll see.
Progress.
Tampa Bay didn't lose in the first round last year. And everyone keeps telling me how great Dallas is doing. Yep. They get in the playoffs and lose in the first round all the time. So maybe that's exactly what teams are striving for. As we continue, it's a Football Friday. The free agent frenzy has been fizzling. We'll tell you why maybe the biggest winner of them all is the team that seems to be the biggest loser. Choked up at the very thought of it. We continue next on ESPN. Oh, plus, did you hear what J.J. Redick said about Kevin Durant?
No.
Did you guys hear this? It was just sent to me. You're not going to believe it. Don't miss it. You will hear from JJ next.
Death, taxes, Popeye chicken's getting your order wrong in Dallas.